Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. It's good to see you. Good to have you here. Don't you love the springtime in Charleston? And the pollen is almost gone. Almost. I washed my car way too early. And now it reminded me it was just still falling. But it's great to see you. Good to have you here on this day. And what we like to do here at our church is give everyone a chance to say hello to one another. If you are one of our regulars, you know what we do. If you're our first-time guest or maybe your first time here in a long time, we're going to have everybody stand up. And then just say hello to people next to you. If you want to cross the aisle, you can do that. So go ahead and take a minute to welcome everyone. It just came to my attention that I think in some of your bulletins, you may not have the outline for the message. Would you check real quick? If you don't have the outline, we're going to get our ushers to come and give you one. Hold your hand up if you did not get an outline in your bulletin. Because I'm good, but you'd like to follow me on the outline too, right? Everyone get one? Need to get that outline. All right, very good. Thanks, guys. Appreciate that very much. I want to share a verse with you today. We've been talking about developing outstanding relationships. Today, we're going to be talking about envy, which is a little bit different than jealousy. We're going to look at that. And there's a great verse here in Proverbs 14:30 that says this: a sound, tranquil mind makes for a robust body. But runaway emotions, envy, corrode the bones. Envy's not good for relationships. We're going to talk about that and how to stay away from that in relationships together so our relationships can grow. A sound, tranquil mind makes for a robust body, but runaway emotions like envy corrode the bones. Would you pray with me? God, thank you that you have created us relationally. Out of your love, we're allowed to love one another as friends, as family, husband, wife, children, parents, and we're grateful for that. But sometimes, Father, things get into our minds and our hearts that can deter a loving relationship. And one of those things, as your word tells us, is envy. Envy corrodes the relationship. So prepare us, Lord, through our time of worship to hear your word to us, that our relationships may continue to grow. Now bless us. We're looking forward to this time of worship through music, and continue on to bless us as we go through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And publishing history was made in the unauthorized biography of Nancy Reagan. It sold almost 1 million copies in the first week. Never had a book sold that many copies in its first week before. Kitty Kelly dug up all the dirt and scandal she could find to discredit this lady. Now, I'm not sure here how to argue how accurate that book was or not, and frankly, I don't care. What interests me is why 1 million people would buy a book full of bad news. What is it in human nature that makes us feel better when we bring people down who are well known? What is it in human nature that makes us feel better about ourselves when other people's faults or poor choices or goof-ups are made known in public? You can summarize it in one word, and that word is envy. Envy provides the mud that failures throw at success. And if you make your mark in the world, somebody's going to follow you around with an eraser trying to get rid of it, trying to get rid of you. So we're in a series called Developing Outstanding Relationships. This is the fourth part of that series. We're going to be talking about reducing rivalry in relationships. Inside your bulletin, you should find that outline. Take it out. You can follow along, fill in the blanks as you go. Reducing rivalry in relationships. 1 Corinthians, we're taking this from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as a springboard where Paul talks about what love is. And in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, love does not envy. So what is envy? Envy's different from jealousy. Jealousy says, I want what you have. Envy says, I not only want what you have, but I want you to lose everything you've got in the process. Envy says, not only do I want my grass to be greener, I want yours to turn brown. That's envy. Envy can show up in any kind of relationships. They can show up in families. The Bible is full of examples of sibling rivalry. Jacob and Esau, Cain and Abel, Rachel and Leah, Joseph and his brothers. There is certainly envy in families. How about in work? Professional jealousy. Salesmen envy other salesmen. Doctors envy other doctors. Vice presidents envy other vice presidents. Secretary. It goes on and on. There's envy going on at work. How about envy in school? Does that happen? Ask any freshman if there's not envy in school. The first day of school, there are thousands of students comparing their clothes, their boyfriends, girlfriends, their cars, their grades, their athletic ability. Can you have envy among friends? Most certainly you can. We live in a very competitive world. We're all touched by envy. The whole advertising business in our nation is built on envy. If you buy our product, you'll be the envy of everybody else. So let's talk first of all about how envy ruins relationships. How does envy ruin relationships? The Bible says there are three things that envy does in relationships. Number one, it causes conflict. Envy causes conflict. James chapter 4, verse 1, James said this, "What causes conflicts, fights, and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you?" Conflict comes from your inner desires. How many of you ever played the game King of the Hill when you were a kid? Anybody play King of the Hill? Now, to play King of the Hill, first thing you had to have was a hill. I loved my elementary school because down this huge hill were the sand piles where they had huge hills, and we would literally fall down the hill. It was very steep, just to get on that property and play King of the Hill. I loved the game. Somebody's up there on top, and it's your job to what? Knock them off. You're envious. They got there. They earned it. They deserved it. And I'm going after it. Adults still play that game. We just do it more subtly. Notice the kind of car I'm driving. You like that? A little envious about that? Look at my jewelry. Oh, my kids are smarter than yours. Notice the color of my credit card. Remember when credit cards, you just had a credit card, then they went different colors, silver, blue, black, green. I'm colorblind, but I know they're different. Different colors on those cards. Envy is one of the major causes of conflict in marriage. You pay more attention to your job than you do me. You get more freedom than I do. You go to play golf all the time. I don't get a chance to do that. You get more strokes. You get more press. You get more freedom. Envy ruins relationships by causing conflicts in the relationship. Secondly, it not only causes conflicts, it kindles resentment. Envy kindles resentment. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says, "Our lives were full of resentment and envy. We hated others, and they hated us." Envy is the shortest road to resentment. It always causes bitterness. We resent other people because we're envious of their success. I should have got that promotion, not them. We resent other people's wealth. Who do they think they are living in a house like that, driving a car like that? I wish I had that. We envy other people's achievements, their beauty. We can even envy other people's spirituality. How come her husband is more spiritually committed than mine? That's not fair. That's envy, and it leads to resentfulness. Look what James said in chapter 3, verse 16 of his book. "For where you find envy, there you find disorder and every evil practice." Underline or circle that word, every. He says, if you're green with envy, you're ripe for trouble. Envy leads to other sins. It can lead to gossip, stealing, adultery, murder. Joseph's brothers envied him and sold him into slavery. When Saul envied David, he tried to kill David. That was his mission in life, all because he was envious. And number three, envy makes me miserable. If you've ever been envious, you know this by experience. Proverbs 14:30 says, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." Envy is to your soul what cancer is to your body. It will literally eat you alive. It will torment you and eventually consume you. When you become envious, it feeds on resentment. It gets bigger and bigger until soon you're obsessed with your competition. You can get so obsessed, you get depressed. Envy makes you miserable. It makes you unhappy. It's one of the great secrets of happiness in your life is how to eliminate envy from your life. So we're going to spend the rest of the message on that. How do we get rid of it? How do we deal with it? How do we manage it instead of allowing envy to manage us? What do we do? The first thing you must do, is to resist comparing yourself to other people. You've got to stop that. It's silly. It's ridiculous. There are always going to be people who have more, who look better, and there are always going to be people who are below you who don't have as much, don't look. You just need to stop comparing yourself. It makes no sense. I don't understand why people do that. All envy starts by comparing ourselves to other. If you don't compare, then you're not going to be envious. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 10:12. We do not dare classify or compare ourselves. They are not wise. God says it's stupid to compare yourself to someone else. It's just dumb. We're all different. Comparing is the root of envy. I remember as a kid, one year I got a new bicycle for Christmas. One of those really nice bicycles had the banana seat, had the handlebars that come up and over, and you're just sitting back there and you're pedaling. I loved it. And I was going to ride down my friend's house and show him what I got. Rode down there, and he had a bicycle, banana seat handlebars, but he had gears on his. And he had little pegs out the back. And all of a sudden, when I was so happy with my bike, now I became envious. I either wanted to get his or I hope he wrecked it, one or the other. Nothing depreciates your car as fast as your neighbor buying a better car. Don't compare yourself. You remember the old, you got to be my age old to remember the kennel ration commercials for your dogs. My dog's better than your dog. That's envy. Adults, we still do this. We just do it in more subtle ways. We don't say my dog, we say my car, or my house is bigger than your house, or my paintings are more valuable than your paintings. My career has more status than your career. My wife is prettier than your wife. My kid's number one at school. We do the same thing. Quit comparing. That's ridiculous. Don't compare. God says it's dumb. Look at Galatians 6:4. Let everyone be sure to do his very best. For then he will have the personal satisfaction of work done well and won't need to compare himself with someone else. Don't compare yourself with others. There's no need to do it. Do your best. And that the only thing you have to, only one you need to be concerned about is, am I pleasing God? Am I doing his will? Am I living the way he wants me to live? Do I have the things he blessed me with and I'm content with that? Just quit. Comparing, you're just going to drive yourself nuts. And your sibling or your girlfriend or your kids or whoever it is, stop comparing. Envious is a choice. Anytime you're envious, you're choosing to be envious. It's not making things better. It's making you more miserable. You're choosing to compare, and God says, don't do it. When I start getting envious of others, you need to ask yourself the tough questions. What am I telling myself at this moment? Why am I telling myself about the situation that really isn't true? What am I saying that's not true at all? Don't compare. And that leads us to number two. You got to quit comparing. And in the process, what you do is you realize, you recognize your own uniqueness. You recognize your own uniqueness. Envy is an expression of inferiority. And when you feel insecure, you begin to get envious. Envy is always caused, many times, always caused by low self-esteem. That's really the problem. And when I have low self-esteem, I feel threatened by people who are more beautiful, better dressed, have more status, make more money, they have more education, they have more charisma. God says, don't do that. You need to recognize your own uniqueness. How do I deal with that insecurity? The Bible says to see yourself as God does. Look at Psalm 139, verse 13. You, God of the universe, you, the only God, you created every part of me. You, God, put me together in my mother's womb. God says, I put you together. To that end, we all have designer genes. You'll get that in a minute. There's nobody like you in the whole world. There's nobody that will ever be like you. So why compare yourself to somebody else? You're different. We're all different. We're all unique. And when you get to heaven, God's not going to say, why weren't you more like Moses? Why weren't you more like David? Why weren't you more like Peter or Paul? Why weren't you more like Billy Graham or Mother Teresa? He's not going to say that. He's going to say, why weren't you more like you? Like I created you to be. Quit trying to copy somebody else. Quit imitating somebody else's lifestyle. Quit trying to be somebody you're not. God made you to be you. And that's where satisfaction and meaning and purpose and fulfillment come from. If God has a plan and if I'm unique, then what that means is I'm a 10 in some areas. I'm not a 10 in every area, but there are some areas of my life I'm a 10. Maybe due to your makeup, due to your genes, due to your background, due to your temperament, your education, your experiences, at some point I'm a 10. When you realize that, you quit trying to go after other people that you think are tens. When you find that area and start working on that, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. You're good at those things God made you to be good at. You're bad at some things. No problem. We all are. But what counts is that God made you uniquely and wants you to recognize how precious that uniqueness is. There's no need to envy anyone. You just need to become all that God meant for you to be in the first place. If God is happy making you the way you are, why are you so unhappy? Why are you so discontented? It's because you envy other people. God says, knock it off. You're only hurting yourself. It's ridiculous. Number three, the next step we need to do is we need to rejoice in what we have. We need to rejoice in what we have. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 9 says, it's better to be satisfied with what you have than to always be wanting something else. Instead of focusing on what I don't have, be grateful for what we do have. Now, Americans have a desire to acquire that is at times insatiable. People think, I've got to have this, but if I get more, I'll be even more happy, so I got to get that. And it's not true. You can't purchase happiness. How much is enough? At what point do I stop spending so much on myself and start using what I have to help others? I need to ask myself, will moving from a $250,000 home into a $350,000 home really going to bring happiness to me? I don't think so. God doesn't give a flip about what your house cost, about what kind of car you drive. We're the ones who have issues with that. What God wants us to know, or what God wants to know, is what's our motive in doing that? If you're doing it so you'll be the envy of other people, then you're off base. It won't. It may thrill you, but it won't bring you lasting happiness. You can buy thrills, but you can't buy happiness. God says, rejoice with what you already have. Rejoice with who you already are. And one of the amazing things about envy is that when we envy other people, we project our problems onto them as if it's their fault. The reason I'm miserable is because you're looking so good. I walk into an aerobics class with beefcakes, and I'm like, dude, why aren't I like that? Libby and I go to a Planet Fitness, and they call it the no judgment zone, right? And I'm not saying people look at me and judge. There's not a lot to judge here. And so but when I go in there and I see guys that are like, you know what I mean? I'm like, geez, why can't I be like that? That ain't going to happen. Then I just realized God made me like this, so I'm all right. I'm good. I accept what God made. Paul put it this way in Philippians 4:11. I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I want you to underline, circle, highlight the word learned. It is a learning process to become content in any and every circumstance. It doesn't come naturally. We're taught discontentment. Contentment then is something we need to learn. It's an educational process. One of the things we need to learn is that I've got more now than I ever deserve. I don't know if you're Dave Ramsey fans or not, but one of the things he says when he comes on the air is, I'm more blessed, I've got more than I've ever deserved. Rejoice in what you do have. Don't get upset about what you don't have. Number four, we need to respond to others in love. We need to respond to others in love. Why is that? Because 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love does not envy. Paul said in 22:39, love your neighbor as yourself. Why does he say love is an antidote to envy? Because love is happy when other people are blessed. We're not self-centered. We're not just focused on ourselves. We can rejoice with other people in what God has blessed them with, whatever it is. Even though they may have something we don't have, they may be doing something we want to do but we can't have, we rejoice with other people. Love wants the highest good for others around us. Love gets excited when other people succeed. Love enjoys seeing other people be blessed. It's the exact opposite of envy. Romans 12:15, Paul says, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Rejoicing with others who rejoice, weeping with those who weep, is the epitome of selflessness. That's how you build relationships. That's how you get out of envy. You respond to others in love. And number five, we need to refocus on pleasing God. We need to refocus on pleasing God. You ever had a hard time handling the success of other people? Honestly, we probably all have done that from time to time. Why didn't I get that promotion? How come they're having a wedding and I'm still single? They're having a child and we're not. We can't. They're going to Europe and we're having to pay for braces. Envy is resenting God's goodness to other people. It's based on misbeliefs that say your success means my failure. And that's just not true. Your pleasure means my pain. That's not true. God has enough goodness for everybody. When God is good to somebody else, it doesn't mean he's forgotten about you or he's not being good to you. We need to refocus on pleasing God. It's the ultimate antidote to envy. Look what Paul said in Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Look at life from God's viewpoint. Recognize that material things are only temporary. They're not going to last. That bike I got for Christmas wore out about the same time that other bike that was better than mine did. They both wound up in the same junkyard somewhere. Focus on things that are going to matter, that are going to last for all eternity. Things like loving one another, knowing and serving God by serving others. When we focus on making God number one in our lives, on focusing on what he realizes, says is important, that he has a plan for my life, then we're less concerned about competition. It becomes irrelevant. Solomon, the writer of Proverbs, said this in Proverbs 23:17. Don't be envious of sinful people. Let reverence for the Lord be the concern for your life. If it is, you'll have a bright future. Don't be envious of sinful people. Let your reverence for the Lord be the concern of your life. If it is, you'll have a bright future. I want you to look at a picture of this guy. Meet Gunpei Yokoi. Looks pretty sharp there. Got a nice business suit on, little gray hair, make him look very distinguished. What's he holding up? A little Game Boy thing? This gentleman started working as a janitor at the place that was taking care of these Game Boy Nintendos. He was a janitor. He had a little work closet. And in his little work closet was a sink, a bucket, a mop, some glass cleaner, some brooms, some trash bags, and a push cart. That's where he was working for Nintendo. And yet, when he had a break in between times, he sat in his janitor's closet and he tinkered. Does anybody like to tinker? Everything I ever tinker with blows up. But he was just tinkering. He's just messing around, tinkering with toys. I was tinkering 3 or 4 weeks ago with a lamp in our house. It's Libby's favorite lamp. And you know how sometimes it gets loose up top where you put the light bulb in, whatever that thing's called, and it gets loose? Well, it was a little bit loose. It wasn't too loose, but it was a little bit loose. It was driving me crazy. So I decided I was going to fix it. I figured all I had to do was tighten it. Now, when it sits on the table, that part that holds the wire and goes up like this, it's like this. And I don't know how to fix it. There's a company somewhere downtown Charleston said they'd fix it for me, but I'm still trying. But this guy was tinkering. And lo and behold, Mr. Yokoi developed the Nintendo. He did. Instead of sitting around in his janitor's closet looking at people in Nintendo who were wearing those suits, thinking, man, they make more money than I do, they have a better job than I do, people recognize them, I don't ever get recognized. Instead of doing that, he said, God, here I am right now, this is what I'm doing, you made me to be here, I'm going to be here, and I'm going to tinker. And that gentleman, who didn't become envious, built a little machine that sold over 120 million units. Now he earned his way to the lead research and development team with Nintendo. Had he become jealous and envious, he would never have done that. He would never have reached the level of success that he reached. So, tinker. Don't become envious. Don't become jealous. God, how did you make me? What did you make me for? At this stage in my life, what are you calling me to do? Not compared to anyone else, me. And whatever that is, if no one ever sees it in your life, no one ever sees you become successful, nobody ever sees the things you do behind the scenes that bless other people that people aren't even thinking about, don't become envious. You do what God has called you to do. You be who God has called you to become. And you will be able, in that context, to develop relationships that are outstanding with other people. Would you pray with me, please? God, I want to thank you that you speak to us, you direct us, you encourage us to become the people that you want us to be individually and collectively as a church. And one of those characteristics you do not want us to have is envy. But rather for us to be humble, to recognize how you've made us individually and as a church, and to be content with that, and to do what you call us to do, not worrying about others, not being envious of others, but just fulfilling your will for our lives at this time. Then, God, we will see you one day face to face, and you will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Welcome to where I've been wanting you to be for a long time, with me in heaven." God, help us to stay focused on that. Because when we're not envious, we're more attractive to other people around us, and they'll give us a chance to tell them about Jesus. So work out what you need to work out for us, whatever it takes. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
So coming up, we're what, 3 weeks now? Kevin, till Easter, right? 3 weeks we have to pass. Somebody hold up one of those cards. Let me see one. I just want to make sure they're out there. Yeah. Charlotte, invite Jay. Make sure he comes. Yes. You have the cards. You can pass those out. There are extras over on the tables. You can share those. Get those out to folks. Invite people to come on out. Also, today, if you look in your the insert there, this is the last day to go ahead, and if you'd like to put a lily, Easter lily, in the sanctuary, you can do that. And you can use, we have moved into the 21st century, we have the QR code right there. You can actually use that to order those Easter lilies. But this is the last week to be able to do that, all right? Next Sunday night, we will be getting the youth back together on our Sunday night plan. I'll be sending out information on that. If I don't have your number to text you that information, make sure we get it and ready to go. I think that was all the announcements, Jason. We have how about give Stevie a hand? Hey, he did a little extra, I think. Did you have some Mountain Dew before church, man? It's like... That's fun. That is fun. Well, we're going to pray and take that excitement with you again. I challenge you to invite some folks to come back with you here as we get ready for a big Easter. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the idea of love is not envious or it's not a rivalry with others, but it's something about just knowing that you love us. You love us because you made us. We don't have to be jealous and envious of others. Help us to rejoice with those who are rejoicing, to weep with those who weep, to share those special times, Lord. Celebrate, but also to mourn together. We love you and we thank you as a family. We pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.